What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Sneakies and the Staddies podcast, episode 58. I am the Staddy Daddy over here, which means
I am Sneaker Peter, also known as
EJ. Mostly known as EJ, I would say. Like, generally speaking.
To most people.
No one's like, hey, Pete.
Yeah. The strangers are like, who are you?
Most strangers don't know my name. Thank you for checking out this episode on this beautiful Monday. Thank you for listening on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Amazon. Oh, Google Podcasts doesn't exist anymore. Amazon Music, SoundCloud.
That's right.
Thank you for watching us on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe there. Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, which is back, and I think it's back.
Yeah.
X and Threads. That's it.
That's right.
That's all of them.
Correct.
We got a very exciting episode this week.
Everybody.
Yes, good morning. Some cool new stuff is coming out, which is very exciting.
We're rolling out more of these new shoes for this year. There's just an insane amount.
Yes. There is some cool NBA stuff happening because we are officially midway through the season. And I think by the time this episode comes out, we will be like a week or 10 days away from the All-Star game. So hopefully it's good.
By the time this comes out, there will only be maybe a couple days left before the NBA trade deadline.
Yes.
And leading up to that, it's been a kind of a weird last couple weeks NBA-wise.
Would you say
is weird a good word for that?
Very weird.
There's so much stuff going on.
Yeah, very, very weird.
Where to start?
I don't know. You tell us. Take us there.
Let's start with, I want to get some things out of the way a little bit. SGA had a couple of 50-point games. One game specifically against the Clippers in a loss the other day.
Yeah,
53 points.
Yes. I think just last night he had 50 and they lost to the Dubs.
Yes.
Which is sad.
Kind of crazy. Yeah. Yes. So he's been killing it. I would kind of put him on the top three of MVP leaders so far, with like Joker.
Yeah,
you know,
he's got the narrative. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but the narrative is like this young upstart team. He's the leader. He is, obviously we've talked about it. Like, he's just so consistent. He's so efficient. He's one of the most efficient superstars in a long time. I think so, especially for a guard.
He's a great leader too. I like that at the end of the games when they interview the player of the game. Essentially, the whole team is behind the player.
Yeah.
Kind of like a cool way to gather the team together and just a camaraderie thing, which is why they're so high up in the rankings.
Yeah.
Part of why they're up there.
Head of the West, baby.
That's right. A couple of injuries that are hurting teams right now. Brandon Miller just had season-ending wrist surgery.
Did not hear about that, actually.
Derek Lively is out 2 to 3 months.
He's been out for a while.
Yes. And then AD is out at least a week until they check him again because of that abdominal injury, that strain. And then LaMelo is out at least a week with another ankle injury against the Lakers too. So a lot of weird injuries happening these last couple of weeks in the NBA.
Do you think the Ball brothers, to just touch on that really quick, because it's like just every year with LaMelo, like clockwork, it's an ankle injury. And, you know, Lonzo at one point kind of alluded to this, but like, do you think the Big Baller Brand shoes messed them up?
I think so.
Because Melo was playing professionally when he was like 16, 17. He left high school and played in Lithuania. He played in, I think, New Zealand.
Yeah.
So
There was a good amount of time.
I don't know. They're both so injury prone.
Yeah, they're super injury prone. And there was a good amount of time where they were playing in the Triple B shoe. And it came out that they weren't the best made shoes. They weren't made with the best material.
We got to do a deep dive on that. Stay tuned.
That could be
shout out Gerard, my coworker, who has been pushing for a Big Baller episode.
Oh, which could be, I mean, you could really talk about that family and what they've gone through the last 10 years in a whole episode for sure.
Easily.
But did it contribute to some of their injuries? I think so.
I think so.
Lonzo has come out and said that it has.
Yeah, so, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that brand doesn't really exist anymore, but like definitely not the shoes, but it's crazy to say that about like your family's
thing. Yeah. And then all with their best friend, the manager who kind of was stealing money for them.
Yeah, yeah.
In like a Otani type of way.
Crazy times.
Just they've gone through a lot. Also, the NBA Paris games happened a couple weeks ago, which was kind of cool. I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about all the sports doing that? Like football has all these games in London. Baseball opening day for the Dodgers will be in Japan against the Cubs. How do you feel about like the NBA and all the other sports are doing that in different countries?
I think it's smart, especially football. To be honest, I don't really get why London so much.
Right.
I think Germany has a professional gridiron football league.
Yeah.
That's like somewhat popular. I think a handful of former NFL players have played in this German league that I really don't know much more about it than that. I'm not aware of a British league. I'm sure there is one. I feel personally probably like British people would just laugh at the thought of American football. Right. Soccer is just such a big deal there. It's
and
like
still
the only
is
thing.
Yeah, on top. It's.
I mean, that system, when you dive into like the English soccer system, there's like 9 leagues that all work in participation with each other. They all play together against each other during the FA Cup. Like, it's just such an insane system that's been in place for, you know, going back hundreds of years almost to some of these clubs when they were established, that breaking in as a new sport that's called football is going to be really hard, I think. But basketball in Paris, that's a no-brainer. I think during the Olympics, basketball was maybe one of the hottest tickets, you know. Track and field was obviously crazy with Noah Lyles and everything that on the women's side too. But I think basketball was like the hot ticket. And obviously you have Wemby. France has put out some nasty basketball players over the course of history. Tony Parker, Nick Batum,
Boris Diaw,
who was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So crafty. So I think it's smart. It's good global outreach. It obviously works. I mean, you how many stars can you list that are not from America in the NBA? It's countless. So I do think it's working. I think the most important thing about these sports that go to other countries is that, and why, again, I don't think football really works in a lot of these places, is that they're accessible. Like basketball, you just need a ball and a hoop. Like you've seen pictures of people in New York playing with milk cartons that bottomed out. Obviously, a peach basket was the first hoop. It's really accessible. It's really easy to get a basketball. It's pretty easy to get a hoop. You don't need other people to play it necessarily. Baseball is also pretty accessible, just a ball and a stick, you know. You do need other people, but that's always not too hard. So I think, you know, it's cool. I like that, you know, sports are such a global thing. And we were talking about it with the Dodgers in particular, like their corner on the Japanese market is just insane because of Shohei. And now I'm blanking.
I kind of am jealous a little bit when I see the games of all the sports in Japan and Paris and stuff, when you see the ovation from the crowds, how they are during the middle of the games, the ovation for Wemby. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah.
It was like a standing of, it was almost like a wrestling entrance where it was just ridiculously loud. That atmosphere I wish would transfer over to the American games. You know what I mean? I mean, baseball is loud. Football is pretty loud. I would like to see the basketball games be a little bit more, with the crowd being a little bit more into it as they are. Yeah, like I'm sure you've seen those basketball games in Lithuania where they have like fires. And I'm not asking for that or anything. I would just, it's not as I feel like the players would play a lot more intense if the crowd was a little more into it as they were in other countries. I don't know if that has anything to do with that.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with basketball in particular, I feel like baseball, I always feel has, except for maybe like, you know, New York and Philly where the fans are always crazy. It's like kind of a calmer sport, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like a joke. You play it in a park. Like it's,
yeah,
it's not, I don't want to say it's a calm game, but like there's so many breaks and like there's not always a ton of action necessarily.
Yeah.
That I feel like it doesn't necessitate like people doing like the wave or like, you know, true. Crowd antics like you see in some other sports. I do think, because I do agree, I feel like a lot of European countries, especially pretty much everywhere except the U.S., it seems like, maybe not so much in some of the Asian countries, some of the fans, like, again, soccer fans, obviously, like soccer hooligans, they go crazy. They have chants drafted up. They have like 25-foot flags.
Yeah.
I do think in America the closest thing you get is probably college football, college sports.
College sports for sure. So especially at the bigger, like the, I mean, not just the bigger schools, but a lot of
like,
schools.
You see, like North Carolina for basketball, mm-hmm. those fans always do Cameron something crazy. Crazies, yeah,
right, Duke.
And football, of course, especially. I mean, you see, like Texas fans, they always are doing some crazy stuff.
What's the school where they wave to the hospital?
Yes, is that
Iowa?
Penn?
Iowa. Yes, yeah. I always thought stuff like that was cool. You know,
but in the NFL, you know, you have fan traditions. The Eagles have their thing before the start of the game. The Chiefs have the maybe tomahawk. Slightly racist tomahawk. Oh.
The Jets, the J-E-T-S, Jets. That's all. That's true. So we it is here. It is
weird
here in the States.
Because all the New Jersey teams are four-letter ending in E-T-S. N-E-T-S. They used to do that for the Nets. The Mets are not a Jersey team, but, you know, they're this little brother.
Yankees.
The Yankees. Y-A-N-K-E-E-S.
It's all long.
It's way too long. T-I-M-B-E-R-W-O-L-V-E-S. Wolf. So I think you have it, but in basketball, I agree. Professional basketball, it's not really there. Steve Ballmer's trying to bring it.
Yes.
I do think the wall has been generally successful. I don't know. I don't know if it goes back to like the Showtime Lakers where basketball became like cool. Like
it was like a madhouse.
And especially in LA, we were just at a Lakers Celtics game.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Cause the Lakers blew them out. But I feel like the crowd, I don't know. It was good. I thought it was a good crowd.
Great energy.
We talked about there's way too many Celtics fans, so maybe that built the crowd up. There was
that was interesting.
The guys two rows in front of us that were chirping with the Celtics fan right in front of us, and that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking trash, but like nobody got upset or anything. I think LA is notorious for having a lame crowd, and I do think I noticed. I don't know if you noticed it. So many people kind of appeared to be there for the photo op.
And
it's still a thing. Yes. Like it's not maybe the height of the, you know, the lake show like in the 80s where you had like the club, the Forum Club, and like you were going there to be cool.
Yes.
You were going there to see Pat Riley dressed in, you know,
yes,
Armani suits. But I still think it's like if you're going to a Laker game, it's the atmosphere.
And maybe I am asking for too much. Like I tend to forget that we live in Los Angeles where the first 100
cool rules
rows or the first few rows are all the kind of like the more wealthier people, right? They're not really necessarily the fans that are gonna jump up, yell and scream at in the crowd, right? Until you go to the 200s, 300s where you get really like the diehard
people. Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's kind of like the atmosphere was already created because of who's in the front and who's in the back, and the atmosphere was still cool. It's still loud.
It's part of the appeal. I mean, we were eyeing celebrities the whole time. We were like, "Oh, dude, Macaulay Culkin's here!"
You know, Andy Garcia stood right next to us, which was pretty cool. So yeah, it was. I'm kind of asking for a lot, but you're right. Like guys like Ballmer, who are kind of putting an effort to kind of make it a more fun game. The Thunder, who have just a fan base in a city that's just supports no matter what they do, even if they're bad, they're loud.
The Thunder have, I think, the greatest fan base in the NBA. But I don't know. I think basketball, I feel like it's the cool sport.
Yeah.
So there is that factor of like, oh, you know, be cool, man. Like,
cool bucket, man.
Macaulay Culkin's cool here, shot. Dude. Don't embarrass yourself.
Cool shot, dude. That's how we're supposed to react.
But I also think too, compared to the other sports, there's not there's not really like a set thing for the fans to be like, oh, okay, now we're gonna do, except for free throws. There's not really like a, oh, now it's time to do the seventh inning stretch. True. Like, yeah. Or like, you know, when the Chiefs force a punt. Oh,
yeah.
Like there's, yeah, there's set things in other sports where it's like, oh, hey, this is happening. It's going to happen five times a game. Let's do our thing. Yeah. Like there's not really that. Yeah.
I don't That's know. True. But also I would say, In baseball and football, you don't hear the MVP chant. I think that's kind of an NBA
thing. That's an NBA thing, right? I think.
So I guess we have the NBA has their own things too, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to the crowds and all that.
What else you got?
I also wanted to talk about, I kind of want to just get into the gambling investigations that's been going on in the NBA, obviously with Jonte Porter being federally investigated now and banned from NBA.
I think he got indicted too. I think it was not just a ban. I think the investigation did conclude that he's in trouble.
He is a cheater. That also, Terry Rozier's case has been brought back up because this was something that kind of got resolved, I guess, in the beginning because he got traded already. This was a issue when he was on the Hornets, which he's now in the Heat. But there is now a reopening of this investigation where they have a game March 23rd when he was still on the Hornets where he supposedly faked an injury. There's a clip online, you can catch it, where he had an injury and he left the game and all his unders hit for all the betting apps and stuff.
Yeah.
So what's your take on kind of on that situation? Because for me, I feel like he's probably not the only one. Stuff like this, if it's true, were it to be true.
I don't know. It was interesting. I saw a clip of Bill Burr on the Rich Eisen show recently talking about the NFL playoffs. And he was talking about how everyone else is talking right now that, you know, the Bills-Chiefs game was rigged and the Chiefs are destined to win the Super Bowl because that's what the NFL wants. That's what's going to make money for the NFL. I've always had a hard time buying into that. He also brought up the 2002 Western Conference Finals with the Lakers Kings, which is obviously, that one is highly suspect because like two out of the three refs for that series got banned from the NBA for gambling.
And it's been proven, and they've said it themselves that they were doing what they did.
Company men. So, you know, I've always had a hard time believing in these things because like I want it to just be sports. He kind of called it, he's like, these aren't sports leagues, these are entertainment leagues, so that when something like this happens, they can just say, well, we're not a sports league, it's not supposed to be competitive, it's an entertainment league. So, but with that being said, I do think it is as easy as it's ever going to be to fix games as a player, at least. Maybe not games.
I agree.
But it's going to be the easiest it's ever been to say, hey, take my under. Like, yeah.
It's easy to get away with it.
Which maybe, I mean, it creates a whole other can of worms, but maybe like as a betting app or a bettor, you just have to say, like, if your guy gets injured, sorry, bet's canceled. Like, injuries are bad luck. It sucks. No one likes an injury, but we'll give you your money back. But it's the whole thing's off because that seems to be the way, right? I mean, Jonte Porter, the same thing. He was like, oh, I'm not feeling too hot. Like, pull me out.
Yeah, they took me out, so don't bet on, or don't bet the over on me. Or or what was his exact quote? They took me out, but if we get blown out, they're going to put me in and I'm going to jack up a bunch of shots. I think that's what he said.
Yeah. But it's just so easy for them to do it. And I think it's really hard on the NBA to crack down on it, especially on a team like the Hornets or a team like the Wizards, you know, that they're not going to be competitive for the playoffs. So gives these guys a chance to, I don't know, make it exciting because they don't need the money. I mean, maybe their homies need the money, but like...
Or maybe some of them want more money, or some of the lower guys feel like...
Jonte Porter, I guess I kind of get, because he was like a two-way guy. I mean, it's still insane. Obviously ruined any career you would have had.
Yeah.
But like Terry Rozier, That dude got paid. He got like an $80 million mm-hmm. contract. Like, no amount of money you're betting on yourself is going to make a difference or even come close to what you got paid to play that game.
Right.
Like,
and then it becomes an issue. Stupid. Like, was it an issue because you wanted to get a side hustle to get more money on the side? Was it, were you being pressed by an outside organization to play a certain way so that you can manipulate the bets? We don't know exactly what it is. As somebody who isn't a heavy bettor, but I am on Prize Picks, and some of these legs that I'm betting on, for instance, the other night I had Darius Garland to get over 2.5 rebounds. What happened was he got 2 rebounds. I'm not saying he did it on purpose, but I can't help, as a person betting and has been doing this for a couple months, to think, well, if he knows his line, what's stopping him from just being like, okay, well, I'm not going to get that 3rd rebound. You know what I'm saying? It's a thought that pops up in my head as of someone who makes these little bets here and there. You know what I'm saying?
I just think, generally speaking, no, there's not NBA players. They don't care about their lines. They don't care about your prop.
Right.
They don't care. They don't need to gamble.
Right.
They have enough money. They're doing endorsements. They're doing all this other stuff. Like, they're busy. They have money coming in. They're good. I think probably if you're doing it, you just aren't a very good critical thinker. You are yeah. not thinking about the consequences, because it's a terrible look for the league, mm-hmm. for a league where you're allowing betting to be advertised
yeah.
all of the time. It's yeah. all the time. Same with the NFL.
Yeah.
Every ad break is brought to you by DraftKings.
Oh, yeah.
This segment that TNT is doing is brought to you by MGM Bet. You know, it's...
You brought this up a couple episodes ago. You don't like that they show the lines, the overs and the unders during these broadcasts now sometimes. Sometimes it becomes more of a... It's not just a sports, you know, event to watch. It becomes like almost like a sports book in Vegas, right?
When yeah. Like, I just think it should be separate, because
yeah
I don't know, I think it brings on a lot of dangerous potentially dangerous like implications and stuff for, you know, people that are just trying to watch the game that are like, maybe I should bet. It's like, that's yeah. a very easy way to ruin your life, especially now with it just being on your phone, you know, everything like that. So
I can see it thinking about if this were to happen in the future, you know, if things like Otani, let's just say, you know, he was involved with that situation with his interpreter, the MLB would hate that because that's the face of their league, right? Let's just say the NBA and a bunch of all these players are involved in this type of thing. Is it a situation where you, as the NBA, do you sweep it under the rug because there's so many? Do you save the stars because you don't want, you know, to be involved?
The NBA will save the stars.
You know what I'm saying?
Should some giant scandal come out. I really don't think there is a big scandal. I don't think...
Behind the scenes, yeah.
I think these guys are so competitive that if anything, you know, if some of them are betting, they're betting on themselves. They want to have a good game.
Like, yeah.
I don't think most of these guys are throwing their own personal stat lines away because they want to hit on a bet. Like, that just is insane to me.
Yeah.
They're too competitive. They're too good. They're professionals. Like, this is part of their training, I'm sure. I don't think there's a widespread thing. It is crazy that, you know, they're looking into another person, and Terry Rozier was a fringe all-star at one point. So, mm-hmm. But I do think at this point, if they were like, oh, he was betting on himself and changing the way he played, or, you know, altering the game, he's gone.
Yeah.
I think he'll be gone. It's easy with Jonte Porter. It'll be more difficult with a guy like Terry Rozier that's established. But
yeah.
I think at this point they could feel safe to get rid of him. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just an issue. You really hope that you don't see anybody else get involved in anything like this, especially the stars. You want to see them all playing. You know, we already are affected by all these injuries and stuff, so you don't want to see these guys just kind of getting involved in stuff like that. So, yeah. But it is a new issue in the NBA. That I felt like we needed to talk about, just because, you know, I don't want to see any of these guys getting involved in that again.
No, it's it could ruin the game pretty easily.
With the, like I brought up earlier, I want to bring up a couple of things with the trade deadline. I believe from this point on, it's going to be like 2 days from there.
Yes.
From when you guys are watching. And I have three guys here, and I want you to give me your opinion on if they should be gone or if they shouldn't.
All right.
Okay.
I guess.
The obvious one first.
Jimmy Butler. He's got to get out.
He's got to get out. He's now suspended indefinitely since we've, you know, talked last because he once again skipped a flight or missed a flight or, you know, something. He's not traveling with the team. So, yeah, he's suspended indefinitely.
Yeah.
The relationship is done. Him and the Heat organization are not on good terms. He's putting in a not maximum effort on the court.
He's leaving practices.
He needs to be traded. He's bringing down the rest of that team. Mm-hmm. It is frustrating to watch, like we talked about last time. I just think this is so selfish and immature. They talked about it on TNT a little bit. Like, you sign a contract. Shaq was very pro, like, Jimmy Butler. Like, oh, you don't want me? Then I don't want you.
Yeah.
I don't really know if that's Shaq's the case.
Kinda, I feel like Shaq's kind of just thinking about him, how he handled his situation, too. You know what I mean?
So he handled every situation.
Yeah.
That's why he was on eight different teams.
This is probably the worst that Jimmy's acted, I think, out of all the times wanted out from a team, right? This is probably the worst one.
Well, the Wolves was pretty bad.
Wolves is pretty bad, too.
But this is the most detrimental. I mean, this is mid-season. The Wolves was pretty bad, but at least it was the start of the season, I guess.
Does it tarnish his legacy to you a little bit?
I mean,
that the way he had?
Look, Jimmy Butler,
to me, it does.
It definitely does for me, but I do also think, like, his legacy, that's the problem, right? Like, he's getting up there to where we're talking about his legacy. He was a really, 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 really good NBA player.
One of the best at one point.
Maybe underrated, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
He's missing a lot of hardware. He's not in that. He's not in the MVP conversation, really. Maybe one, you know, 2021 or somewhere in there when he was just dragging this sorry Heat team to the finals and deep in the playoffs and stuff like that. He doesn't have the hardware. He doesn't have any significant wins, I would say. Couple conference championships. I mean, that's a big deal. But I think his reputation is going to, it should be, in my opinion, that he was difficult. Like, he was a good but problematic player.
Because,
like, if he wants to put in full effort, he's really great. But it just seems like he doesn't always do that.
It's because for me as a fan, and I'm sure maybe you can agree with me a little bit, how I see it is Jimmy Butler was one of an awesome player, one of the best at one point, but I'm starting to recognize him for the times he didn't like being on the team, especially this time with the Heat, and which is why I asked why he's tarnishing his legacy, is because I would rather know you for those moments. You know, you brought your team to the finals. You hurt your ankle against the Lakers. You still
played.
Won that game. Still played all those good games you had as a Bull, as a Sixer, and stuff like that. But I'm starting to recognize you more. And if I were to have a conversation about you with my basketball friends and you, it's gonna be like, well, dude, he complains so much. You know, and that's what it's turning into for me.
No, I agree. And you see, I feel like you see that mirrored. It's an interesting career comparison, I think, him and Paul George.
Yes.
I think Paul George's high may have been a little higher.
He's a little weirder, though, right?
Paul George is definitely weirder.
Paul George was like,
he complained that
I'm going to stay here forever. And then gets traded. I've always loved this team.
And did you hear he was complaining that he's never gotten a tribute from Indiana?
Indiana, yeah.
I feel like teams are a little heavy with the tributes now.
Right.
There was someone, I think Paul George got a tribute at LA, and I was like, that feels a little weird.
Yeah.
Someone else. There was someone, like, Paul George is a legit perennial all-star.
Isaiah Thomas was mad when he was supposedly he wasn't going to get one from the Celtics. I don't know if you remember that.
See, I do remember that. And it's like, man, these are the Celtics. Do you not? They're like the Yankees of the NBA. They don't do the cute shit. Like,
exactly. So as dope of a season or two that you had with them, you is it worth that compared to the historic players they've had?
If you run through the list of Celtics greats, like, you were a fun moment and a cool inspirational story, but that was it.
Yes.
You didn't win anything. And
right.
For teams like the Celtics and the Lakers, you know, it's championships.
Mm-hmm. And then that this opinion becomes, is it that's insensitive? Is it insensitive, right? Is it like, it's a different time. Do they still deserve that because of what they gave us that one season? I think that's where we're kind of like, well, we're kind of old school on it, right? Like,
and again, we talked about this last week too. It's like we come from a privileged franchise where it's championship or bust.
Yeah, that's also, yeah.
Same with the Celtics. If you don't win a championship, you don't mean much to that organization.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I this is a bit of a stretch of an equivalent. But like, can you imagine if we gave Kuz a tribute video? He won a championship. He was an important part of a championship team.
And I loved Kuz.
We drafted
too.
Him. He came from the ground up. No one really thought he was going to be what he is.
Yes.
I loved having Kuz as a player. I would be happy to have him back, I think. But tribute video.
Does it also become not?
We did. I don't know.
I don't remember if we did.
I don't remember.
If does it become an issue too now as a player? Is it selfish of you of them to expect one?
Yes.
Yes, right?
Yes. Paul George in Indiana, I almost get, because like you were also that guy that like no one really expected much of you. You led this team to the conference finals,
playoff battles with LeBron,
but you didn't win. And I'm not saying that you weren't close, and I'm not saying that those teams didn't matter. Those teams were fantastic. They were such fun teams. Paul George was so fun at that time. But like, you just come off as whiny and selfish. Like, it's been like 8 years since you played in Indiana, and now you're like, well, I never got a tribute. Like.
Mm-hmm. Gone are the days where dudes would just get one and be happy with it, and we just kind of watch the intros and be like, "Oh yeah, see, he deserved that." Now it's like you got to hear the player whine about it a little bit, and then you see it happen, right? Kind of.
See, maybe that's the way to do it. Maybe that's what I would do if I was Indiana. Like, it's been so long; it shouldn't matter anymore. But like, first game back, maybe not a tribute, but like during the starting lineups. Mm-hmm. When you come from Oklahoma City, you're visiting Indiana, play his highlights. But
there
like during the starting lineups, don't pause
there
the game.
You
you don't need to make like a moment of it. It can just be Paul George is back. Yay.
I like that idea. So not a whole video tribute, but maybe a little something during the intro, right? Like former Pacer.
Also, they're probably booing your ass.
Yes.
They don't
yes.
The fans don't. The tribute is for the fans.
Yes.
The tribute is not for you at the end of the day.
But apparently to the player, they want that thing. You know what I mean? They want to feel that.
I think that's...
I gave you me, like, everything.
I'd be curious to see, like, how players feel about that. Like, would Russ want one from the Clippers?
Good question to ask them, huh?
Because, he's an LA guy. It was such a big deal that, like, he got moved from the Lakers to the Clippers, and he was playing really well. But, like, I don't think you deserve one. But, like, would you want one because it's your hometown team? I don't know.
That's a question that just came up after saying that.
Let me call him.
Do the Thunder retire Russ's jersey?
Yes.
I think so. I think
Russ and KD.
Harden?
Maybe, probably. I don't know. Harden.
Ibaka? I'm just kidding. Jeff Green?
Pavel Sefolosha? Derek Fisher? You know who should get their number retired?
Who?
Nick Collison.
Oh,
Thunder.
Don't forget.
Thunder Lifer.
He was the last. Yes. Yes. When did he retire?
2014?
No.
15?
No way. I think it was way later than that.
Was it way
Check
later than that?
That.
What do you think about... Man, we're really getting distracted, but...
I know. This is a good topic.
Nick Collison last played...
Nick Collison's awesome. I love
2018. He played 15 games. All off the bench, so... We can say he retired in 2016. That's the last.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, 2018. Do you think real quick?
Yeah.
Technically, the Thunder still own the Sonics history.
Yes.
Obviously, if the Sonics come back, which is the big rumor, and there's going to be a team in Seattle, probably called the Supersonics.
Yeah.
Same with how once the Hornets, or once Charlotte switched back to the Hornets, they got back all their history from the Pelicans. Do you think, even if the Sonics don't exist ever again, do you think the Thunder should own the Sonics' old, like, conference championships, retired numbers, like Gary Payton, Sean Kemp?
No.
I agree.
Because they did not earn that.
It's a different franchise. You are the Thunder. You're different colors. That was the Supersonics. Like, different city.
We high five when we totally agree on something.
Totally.
But because when you start that Seattle Sonics again, if you do, you put all that back there.
I think even without it, I don't know.
And the new players, they're not going to claim it. They're going to say, this was a, you know, this franchise is historic, and we want to start our new history. It belongs to this team.
It's not like the Thunder are bringing in Gary Payton. Like, he doesn't care. He never played there.
They'll bring him in to, like, you know, to speak before a game or something.
I remember when I used to play, not for the Thunder, but...
He's all wearing a Thunder uniform.
Number 20!
Thunder great!
Am I?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean... Because that just opens up everything. I can see that already. First game of the season, let's just say Sonics versus, you know, who are they? The Bulls Thunder. Or something.
Sonics Thunder, man.
Let's create some
This was quite the tangent from should Jimmy Butler get traded.
But it was a great thing to talk about. But you're right. Let's get back on track. The second player to me was Zach LaVine. Does he for sure get moved?
No, he doesn't for sure get moved.
I think they wait in this summer, huh?
He probably should get moved. Who knows what the Bulls are doing anymore. They're, like, teetering with being decent, you know, not good.
Yeah.
Like we said, I think they're in ninth right now, so... Or eighth, actually.
Tough to find a team who's going to take on 2 to 3 more years of 30 to 40... 40 million, sorry. So, does a team need a player like him? Sure, on the Warriors... Would any team take on another extra $80 million? That's not what they're looking for right now, right?
No, it's a really tough sell to get that contract off. He just doesn't really do enough, I feel like, for most teams. Maybe he could end up in New Orleans, because we talked about it a little bit before the cameras were rolling, of like, what is going on there? Why are they so bad? Obviously, that team has been... big in trade talks for the whole season. So maybe he just ends up there as like a salary thing, you know? Like New Orleans is sending out Ingram here, but the money doesn't work. So LaVine, I don't know. Something along those lines. But yeah, I don't think he'll get moved this year. I don't know what the Bulls are doing. Maybe they just hold on to him until his contract expires.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just no... I don't think there's any team that's looking for Zach LaVine at this price.
Right.
I think he was tied to some Thunder rumors last season, and I don't think that would have been a good fit. Warriors, I kind of get, you know, like they're always just in the running for someone to back up Steph.
And yeah.
He's not perfect, but he can definitely score it. So I think that would probably be the best fit, but you'd probably have to give up Wiggins and... They're not giving up Kuminga. They're not going to give up Kuminga for Zach LaVine. But maybe, what's his name? The other young guy.
Moses Moody.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple firsts.
Anything outside of Steph, Dre. I wouldn't personally give up Trayce Jackson-Davis, but I'm sure teams want him.
Because the Warriors seem desperate right now. And I feel like, obviously, Jimmy Butler is open to going there. And that's in part of the conversation.
That would be a great move if they could pull that off.
Yeah, because then you have a guy.
I move Kuminga for him.
Yes, I think so. And I think that's the name that's attached to the Warriors mostly. But yeah, I don't think Zach gets moved either. I think in terms of the money, nobody's going to want that right now. People want expiring and they want the draft capital. And if you're trading a star, they're going to want young talent back, right?
So. I saw... A Zach LaVine rumor of him to the Suns for Beal, But we talked about this too. Beal holds all the power. The Wizards mm-hmm. gave him a no trade clause, mm-hmm. and that stays in the contract, even though he did get traded. It was by his wishes. He can literally veto any trade that yeah. he gets put into if he doesn't feel like going. Mm-hmm. And like after already, you know, having to uproot your life from Washington
to Phoenix,
like why would you want to do that again? Yeah. Like you're getting paid, you're playing fine. You're on a team that should be winning, so why would I agree to get traded?
Yeah.
That would be an interesting fit for Zach LaVine. I don't really think it would work. Maybe yeah. better than Beal. I mean, kind of a similar player to Beal.
Yeah, but, that's true. And the last player that we want to talk before we get into some kickaroos, just made available or for talks, De'Aaron Fox.
Mm. And we did talk about this too last episode, the Tyrese Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox swap from Sabonis swap from a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
If that would have been better to send Fox out, mm-hmm. I think we both kind of agreed that probably it would have been. And you know, here we are now 3 or 4 years later, and now it looks like he's going to get moved anyways. So mm-hmm. that really is going to hurt. I do think Fox is really good. But I would be open to moving him.
Yeah.
It's just tough because I still think you need a point guard for that team. I don't really know who their backup is. I don't know if Davion Mitchell is
still there. They have that guy who's really good, Ellis.
Okay.
I forgot his first name, but he was really good. He killed us a couple times last season and this season. But he's pretty good. Is he De'Aaron Fox? Probably not.
And that's the thing. I mean, De'Aaron Fox... he's like a good, floor general. Not great. He's not like
he's great in pressure moments. Great in the fourth quarter. I think he's probably one of the fastest point guards. I think the issue right now is the main target is the Spurs, and the Spurs don't want to give up Stephon Castle, who is awesome.
No.
I love that guy.
I don't know why he's not on top of the rookie board. I think it's
he's in the dunk contest. Right.
That's going to be sick.
He's a great talent. But I think if you're the Spurs, you grow with Wemby and the rest of the team with Castle, as opposed to getting De'Aaron Fox and then sacrificing your draft capital and stuff for that. You know what I'm saying?
It's tough, though, because you do need a running mate for Wemby, and Chris Paul only has so many years left.
Right.
So you do need to find a point guard. That could be through the draft, though.
Yeah.
I think... this would be hard for the Hawks to make this work, but I think Trae Young for
that'd be interesting.
For Fox and probably Keegan Murray. I feel like you'd have to have Keegan Murray in that trade.
That'd be interesting.
I think that would be a pretty good move,
especially with Jalen Johnson out for the season now.
Yeah,
he just got hurt. So,
but that would be interesting. What's his name? Zachariah
Richache.
Yeah, Richache. Yeah, he's looking pretty good.
He's pretty good,
looking
man.
He's looking better.
Yeah, another. France guy.
I do kind of think that Fox will get moved.
I think so.
He's already supposedly given his preferred destination, like you said, the Spurs.
Someone said you gave up Haliburton because you decided to keep De'Aaron Fox, and a couple years later, now you're getting rid of Fox.
That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, the king stay kinging, but
yeah, hey, you know,
and Tyrese Haliburton. He's such an up and down guy, you know, and this season hasn't been as great as last season. But I still think I think there's something special there. I think so.
They're fifth right now in the East.
I would have held on to him if I was. Obviously, we talked about it last week, but or last episode.
He just does so much.
He's just so good. He's just electric.
Yeah,
and I do think he's a better traditional point guard than De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah,
Fox is way better on defense, but mm-hmm. you know. Trade-offs. Yeah. But yeah, I think De'Aaron Fox will get moved. I really don't know to where.
Which is crazy to think about because he wasn't even in the conversation to be traded. Zach LaVine was always like, he needs to go now, he needs to go now. Jimmy Butler needs to go now. And now it's kind of like
all of a sudden
flip-flop.
Yeah.
Which is why it's been a crazy couple weeks.
Yeah, no, it should. I think it'll be a pretty interesting trade deadline. I don't know if Jimmy gets moved. I think the Heat probably at this point are ready to move him. But, you know, it's hard. He's got them over a barrel. Everyone knows he wants out. He's suspended indefinitely. So, like,
yeah,
you kind of have some leverage as the team trying to get him. You maybe yes. don't have to give up as much draft capital as you thought, because like, oh, well, I can just wait until mm-hmm. next summer or whenever he's a free agent.
So from this time on now, prices will drop on these players from first round picks to second round picks, depending on who it is. And as soon as the draft, I mean, as soon as the deadline passes, you'll see these people who are get traded and bought out, and then which teams will be on the buyout market.
Too. Yeah.
So, like we said, crazy last couple of weeks, a lot to talk about in the NBA. So let's get into some shoes.
Yes, indeed. We got some new releases up first. First up here, we got the Saucony and J-Tips Jazz 9 yes. collab. The I love you, but I'm busy pair, as you can see
that's messed up.
On the back there. It's all about self-care, baby.
Also, what are you wearing on your feet?
I am wearing...
shoes.
Well, shoes, believe it or not. I'm wearing the Fast Break Pro, but the Cons, the skateboarding model, so...
How do they feel, brother?
Super happy with this pair, man. They look great. Super comfy. I love me some Converse. But yeah, these are nice. I'm not a huge fan of the... They have the thin laces.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they look okay.
It's to match the style of the shoe, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like I could probably get a bigger lace in there. Mm-hmm. But
You know what I love about that shoe a lot? Is the mesh.
Yes. No, super nice.
I love that.
Super light. It makes it easy to clean.
Easy to clean. Soft. Feeling yes. inside, right?
Yeah, no, it's super nice on the inside.
Well, what's it like after a couple hours of wear? Pretty good.
You know, I've really only worn it out. I told you I feel like I can kind of dress these up, so I've only worn it out to restaurants.
Okay.
So I will let you know.
Okay. Houston.
I've only sat down. What are you wearing, sir?
I'm wearing a pair that I've been wanting for a really long time that I thought I would never own. I'm wearing the Safari. You okay? Or the Atmos. Got him. The Air Max 1 Atmos Animal Pack. This is the second time that these shoes came out. There was a earlier version of these. But I finally own them. There's a bunch of different Air Max 1s with different animal type prints and materials on it. So I finally got this one.
Super dope.
Traded,
the materials are crazy.
Yes. Traded my Magneto A6 that I felt I couldn't wear all the time for them. Shout out Cool Kicks and Rami one more time. But yeah, I finally own these, and I am very happy that I have them now.
He's so happy that he's really happy about it.
I'm barely happy.
Yes, first pair, Saucony and J-Tips,
yeah.
Jazz 9.
First of all, J-Tips, really cool guy. I met him at ComplexCon 2023, when I went. He had his first collab with Saucony during that time, and it was a hit. He's known basically from just being from the Bronx, being a shoe designer, also with clothes and hats is what he's known for. He used to work at Foot Locker and kind of built his way up.
That's too crazy. Where he is now.
So cool. And he now has about 5 collabs with Saucony, including this one. His first shoe that he ever designed was a bespoke Air Force One that I showed you a picture of.
Yeah, we'll
get that to you guys.
Similar style for sure.
Very colorful, right?
Yep.
And pretty cool.
Very popping.
Yeah, crazy color palettes. The Jazz 9 I felt was a awesome model to choose.
And, yeah. Lots of stuff to play with.
Lots of stuff to play with, and a lot of cool colors. I love the way it was done. I love the almost like a Murakami flower.
Yeah,
with the code in the and then the quote in the back, just a wonderful shoe.
I think too the materials on this look great. It almost looks like knit.
It looks knit. It looks like a mesh. There's like they're known for like a really good comfy insole as well.
Yeah,
Saucony is also one of the running shoe companies that are shooting all the way up with Brooks and all them.
Especially with I feel like for more like casual
yes.
wear shoes.
Like,
not that these are that casual.
Yeah. You will be noticed.
You will be seen.
The trend is that's going on right now with shoes, and especially in the West Coast, is perfect for Saucony. So just a beautiful shoe. Shout out J-Tips, you know.
I last time I checked, there wasn't any really release info yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
found anything. There's still no release date on it on his Instagram account. It just says coming soon. My guess would be towards the
season.
Yeah, my guess would be like the summer or towards the fall of this year. Loves to do a almost like a phrase for all his colorways. So like,
yeah,
this is the I love you, but I'm busy. His other shoes were the to do list, and I forgot the names of the other ones, to be honest. But yeah, just a great designer, up and coming designer who's killing it right
Can
now.
Can you hurry up? I need the toilet. There was that.
I hate you, but I'm lazy.
You're wasting all the hot water?
Yeah.
I hate you, but I'm lazy.
Put the toilet seat back down, you know?
Excited for these to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's like spring. They give me spring vibes.
Spring vibes.
They're pink, they're yellow.
You look at them and you automatically think this is going to be a limited release.
Definitely.
But we'll see. I'm sure the Saucony website will have
kid sizes. Fire.
It would be great for kids.
Kids love colors.
Mm-hmm.
They're all about colors.
It was very jazzy.
Nine.
And snazzy nine.
It's very nine. next up, we got... Ooh, it's hot. Too hot to touch.
Too hot for the hot tub.
Too hot in the hot tub.
Hot tub.
And in fact, they're so hot, at one point, they were banned.
making the band.
Welcome to the band.
Welcome to the band.
Jordan 1 Bred High re-releasing.
We all know what this is.
On Valentine's Day? Or the 12th?
Sometime
in February.
It is the 14th, so Valentine's.
For a whopping
250
smackaroonies.
That's a pretty coin.
And... only in select stores. I don't think these are going to be on sneakers. At least from what I've read, it's only in select stores.
23 stores.
23. I didn't know it was 23. That's.
I wonder how they got that number.
245.
Yeah, right. It's too many stores. 23 stores. Rumored to be only 10,000 pairs. As you guys know, through all the different re-releases and of this shoe, you already know what this is. And what's cool about this specific drop is it's the 40th anniversary of the Bred One.
Yes.
They have all the band marketing that me and you have been talking about a lot. Where
very fun.
All the ones all over the country are blacked out. In boxes,
yeah.
You know, on the feet.
If you go on the Nike app, They all have black bars on all the Jordan ones.
Awesome. Pictures of Jordan dunking, but then all the shoes are blacked out.
Did you see what they did to his statue?
What did they do?
So his statue outside of the stadium in Chicago, they put big black boxes on the shoes.
There. That's dope.
It was sick.
Was it a fan thing or was that?
No,
was
it was part of the marketing, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I think it was like one of the first bits. So that was cool.
Did you see that guy walking around the Nike campus?
Yes, writing people up. We're giving citations if you were wearing Jordan 1s. That was really funny.
So cool. They had the time.
Do you know the last time these were re-released
off
the top of your head?
2019, I believe.
Okay, so it hasn't really been that long.
There's a lot.
I know this is like, we've you know, in our first episode, we talk ad nauseum about how crazy this pair was and how influential this specific colorway was.
Literally one of our first episodes.
The first episode.
Yeah.
So obviously super, super insane, but 250 and having to wait in line at a real store where
you
might get beat up.
Yeah. No, thank you. So we won't be going for these, but the cool thing about them and about this release as other than it being the 40th anniversary, is they went through tons and tons and tons of testing to get the mold to be like the very first original mold. So I don't know if you guys remember our last episode, they lost the moldings to a lot of the 1 through 5 Jordans.
Yeah.
They used the different models from all the different releases to kind of get the feel for the first release in 1985, and this one they did all pressing, materials, stitching, all different kinds of techniques to get it to look like the 85 model.
So that's the cool, one of the cool features of this new model.
I mean, it is super cool. It would be a fun pair to have.
Yeah.
It's not super high on my like grail list or like must have. Personally, I'd probably rather have like a Chicago.
Same. That's where I'm at too.
But
I mean, I would love
but a cool pair. Obviously. Yes. If you could get your hands on it, 250 is a lot though. When mm-hmm. I feel like most of the Jordan 1 highs are like 180.
Yeah, 180, even 200, if even that.
So.
But like the process of getting this one is just kind of not in.
At the price point, and as lazy as it sounds, of like having to actually go to the store. And I mean, you know, I've never experienced it. I don't know if you kind of experienced mm-hmm. it the other day when you went and got these. You were telling me that there was guys that were like waiting outside and you had to be escorted in.
Kind of crazy, yeah.
But it is, you hear these stories, like it could actually be risky trying to walk out with these.
For
like,
sure.
You want to go with your friends.
You definitely want to be with people. It might be part of like the old school way of how we used to get shoes too, which is kind of part of the lure of getting these. So... You know, shout out to the true sneakerheads who are gonna line up and get these. It might even be an online raffle, and you just come in to pick it up, as opposed to lining up. So we'll see how it goes.
But yeah,
kind of giving you a nostalgic feel of how this rollout is happening.
Yeah, legendary shoe. Not much more to say.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Like I said, you've seen this, but
I've got my eyes on a few other pairs of Jordan ones that are rumored to be releasing this year. So. Hopefully those will be coming home.
If you're one of those people that gets a pair from one of these 23 stores, comment down below. Send us the pictures if you
want
to see it.
Send us a photo. Send us a video.
Send us a pair.
You know, give us a little review if you want. We'll be happy to share it.
Yeah.
Still very exciting. Happy Valentine's Day to those of you that can get it.
To all the lovers out there.
Me and you.
It's the lover corner this week.
Gross. last up, we have a... cool upcoming pair. These are super nice, I think.
I love them.
Obviously, I know you love them. The Brooks Adrenaline 4 GTS Jeff Staple.
Club. Adrenaline. Adrenaline GTS.
Super, super cool.
Yes. Jeff Staple is, we've interviewed him. He's on our social media. He's
yes.
Legend.
Super legendary.
One of the iconic members of the sneaker community, has one of the during one of the hottest times for sneakers with the pigeons.
Yep,
spoken about him a lot already. Really cool how this collab came about. Brooks is an up and coming or up not up and
coming. They've been around
for a long time, but they have gotten a huge spark in business these last couple of years because of the running shoe
boom.
Craze and boom, yes, these last couple of years. In an interview, he said he asked them if they'd like to collab, and it took a bunch of conversations for them to say yes. So basically, it wasn't them coming to him.
That's weird.
And for when he finally got the yes from them, he found out that they have hundreds of models that they haven't released in years, like over 20, 30 years, and just in their vault, just sitting.
Yeah.
And he told them, you guys are sitting on gold that you should be releasing now.
Huh. Interesting.
Which is the Adrenaline.
I mean, this is a cool model, man.
I mean, to not have this out, which is, this is like what's cool right now. This looks exactly like all the New Balances that are out.
I think I actually like it a little better.
Yes.
I feel like New Balances have those really hard lines when they have the kind of overlay material, but these are giving me kind of 90s
yes.
Barkley, you know, esque, like it's a little wavy
mm-hmm.
in some places that I think is, I don't know. I think it looks really nice. I really like this pair.
There's a retroness to it, right?
Yes.
Which I think we both like. There's a sharp to the shoe that I like.
Yeah, that's, I know you're big on that.
Yeah, and the touch, obviously the touches, which we always talk about. So like the Staple right there, he has a pigeon.
That's nice, yes.
Like a splatter print with a pigeon in the middle. Ooh, on the insole. Awesome.
That's sick.
And the colors represent, the city, Bricks of New York,
the pink, gray and white,
the gray, yeah. the pink, the pigeons of the birds of New York, right? Like the pigeon shoe, the dunk that he created. That's all that goes into the colorway of the shoe, and just you can tell that will last for a very long time.
This
shoe.
I think this is one of my favorite shoes that you've put on new releases in a while.
It's pretty shoe, man.
It's not really, you know, my style. Yeah. I told you I got the Huarache Runners. Mm-hmm. As kind of like, I mean, I haven't been able to use them too much because of the poor air quality, but, you know, trying to get into more of like a running shoe.
I forgot you had those. Those are sick. Yeah.
Yeah, they're nice. I've worn them once. They're super nice. You know, so maybe expanding my horizons a little bit, but this pair is
pretty
super, super nice, man.
Also, if you wear these, it's a nice everyday shoe. It's a nice shoe to run in, but has that element of hype beast.
A little bit.
Has that element of like, oh, he's cool.
These are coming out on March 13th for $175. That is a lot. But
Brooks is known for having a great technologies and materials on
this. And obviously this collab.
So that's what you're paying for.
Like you said, kind of a legendary collab. Yeah. I think they came out super well. So I'd be curious. This would be a pair I would really genuinely like to see mm-hmm. in person and like get a feel for it.
For sure. You can tell that in hand or on foot, it's going to be even better looking.
Yeah, for sure.
What's cool about this collaboration too is that in those negotiations to get the collab going, they were able to say yes to the collab, but also he is now not in charge, but involved with helping their whole performance line of shoes.
So, super smart.
So Brooks, you expect them to shoot up in sales and be up there with the Hokas of the world.
You heard it here first. Sneaks and Stats. Mm-hmm. We have our finger on the pulse.
On the pulse.
The shoe pulse.
Thank you, Jeff.
My name's Jeff. That's not my name.
That's not my name.
That's it for new releases, which means it is time to be the police or throw it away.
Every time we do the intro to Cop or Drop, people are like, what are they doing?
It gets worse. What are they doing?
What's next?
What show is this?
It's time to police the feet.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Yes, Copper Drop, back to a more traditional Copper Drop after the gauntlet of Kobe's last time.
Mm. Yeah, that was insane.
That was a lot.
I was like, which one do I choose?
I've got two pairs that released probably about 2 weeks ago now by the time this episode comes out.
Right.
Very hyped releases that we did talk about a little bit. We have the Jordan 6 Dornbecker Jillian and the Nike Air 180 Dornbecker Ja'Kai. So these were two that we both talked about, that we both kind of were like, we talked about the Sabrina. I think that was one of our favorites, but I think these were some of the other two that we were like, these are pretty sick.
I know where you went with these two. Cause we had a conversation.
We did
about
talk
this.
About these two specifically.
Shout out the children first and foremost. Yes. Dornbecker's Hospital.
These two pairs, pretty much all the pairs pretty much sold out right away. Course. Mm-hmm. So
I didn't hit on Sabrina's, by the way.
I was asleep.
And you were the first person I told.
Yes, I woke up and I was like, that sucks.
That sucks, bro.
I'm going back to bed.
You know what? I love the six, right? And I love all the Dornbeckers, but this is kind of like an easier one for me just because the design on that, the child that designed that went off on that.
Yes.
I think. Here too, great.
The swoosh is cool. It's got like water droplets in it.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Thunderbolt, so it's a rainy day shoe,
yes,
if you will. Designer of that one, Ja'Kai Taylor, he is 9 years old and is dealing with type 1 diabetes.
Okay.
And then we have Jillian Beagley, who is 14 years old, designing the Jordan 6, and she is on the liver transplant list. Okay. So... you know, hopefully she can get her transplant and hopefully Ja'Kai can, you know, get some more stable treatment for his diabetes. That's really difficult to deal with. The 6 was 200, just for you guys, if you're wondering. The 180 was 160, so mm-hmm. cheaper than its name. I would go with the 6. Yeah. I love that it's like this Barbie, like classic Barbie colorway.
Mm-hmm.
The bright pink, the teal, the light blue of the laces and the sole. It looks like you got some gold maybe on the tongue too. Yep. Super out there, like in your face pair, but I think a super dope colorway.
Again, the finishing touches, right? So the stitching, I don't know what it says on the front, but that is a beautiful touch. The
little heart right there.
The little heart.
In, the heart gem.
The another little, I want to say, initials on the tongue there. It looks like a Velcro on the side where you can, looks like you can put a patch of some kind,
yeah,
that she, you can attach and leave off. The ventilation.
All hearts. Holes
are all hearts. That is, I mean, what a touch. And then color blocking is just amazing. You know, all the pastels, really nice. I'm just going to have to go with the 180. I love the 180 model. To me the green fading into the blue reminds me of like the old tennis colors, right? And like Agassiz and Mackerels.
Yeah,
I just love that. I love the color blocking. I love the little final touches there. So the 180, I'm gonna have to go with the 180. How about you? And you
guess we're not friends anymore.
Well, at least we'll have both.
when we get divorced, the if kids will have fire pairs. Well, thank you for copping and dropping.
Well, that was great.
Super, yeah, fire.
Nice to do a Dornbecker one.
Moving on to heat on feet. Yeah. You guys may have noticed we skipped during the news around the NBA. NBA All-Stars. So
let's get it started.
There's a reason for that. Yes. So yes, heat on feet. We tried to pick some of the players that would probably be up there for the snub list, if yes, you will. I don't agree.
Great choices, because we could have easily done guys who are on the team, but time to feature the guys who didn't make it.
Yeah, some guys we haven't really talked about all that much, at least this year. But they did announce the full All-Star team. So in the East, you have... I'm a little confused as to... I guess they always just have to do the starters. That's just traditional.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal if you're a starter. It's the fan vote. Mm-hmm. But because they're breaking it up into two teams for each conference, I'm a little confused on how that's going to go. If there's, yeah, like a captain.
That's right.
Or I think the TNT guys are the GMs, right?
I, yeah,
think they're picking the team. So
14.
I guess...
Four teams, and then they're adding one of the Rising Stars winner.
So there's five teams? In the field. Oh, that's the fourth team, right?
Yeah, they're in the field.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's three NBA teams? Is that how it's working?
It's a mix.
Is it five teams?
It's four teams, but the fourth team is the Rising Stars winner. So I guess there's a Rising Stars challenge where they all play each,
yeah,
other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know who the other coaches are. And then the winner of that is the fourth team, which belongs to Kenny or something.
So amongst the NBA teams... Or NBA players, there's only going to be three teams. There's not going to be four teams. Is that correct, as far as you know?
I think it's going to be four with the four TNT guys.
So, but only three teams made up of NBA, yes, All-Stars. The, yes. Or the All-Stars.
Mm-hmm. The fourth, and then team the Rising is Stars be will
the
be
Rising
like,
Stars.
Yeah, it'll be like, okay, Dalton Connect.
Okay.
Yeah. So whoever wins.
Okay. See, I don't mean to keep clowning on the All-Star game, but like...
But when you keep changing it...
The fact
it,
that I don't know what's happening... Not a great sign.
Every year.
Anyways, the East starters, Giannis, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Karl Towns. I think all well-deserved. I do think Kat, I saw a lot of Kat hype,
mm-hmm,
as like, look at what Minnesota's missing out on.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing about the same as he did in Minnesota.
He's doing what he would do there.
I guess people just didn't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it boils down to. He is playing very, very well, but he pretty much always does. I personally just think when it counts, he doesn't seem to show up. That's always been my biggest gripe with him, but he is a very good, very good player.
Yeah, he's also on a better team.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Worthy of a starter. The reserves are Jaylen Brown, very well deserved, I think. Pascal Siakam, Darius Garland, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Damian Lillard, and Tyler Hero.
So the All-Star game averages about six guys who have never been on it every year.
Good stat.
So
stay off my turf.
What are you doing? Cade Cunningham being one of them, and Mobley being another one as well.
Yep.
And Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero's first time All-Star.
Pretty cool.
Tyler
is on fire.
More or less well-deserved.
Tyler's the one I think you can flip.
Yeah, I think somebody else. I think right? The Cavs deserve having three guys. Mm-hmm. I could see people making the argument for Mobley that he shouldn't be there, but I really think he's had such a great year.
Yeah,
The Cavs are his obviously best, probably one of the hottest teams in the NBA. So I think super well deserved. I could see you making an argument that Cade shouldn't be there because the Pistons are still, I mean, they're better, way better than last year. You know, they're sitting at like 500.
He's also hurt beginning of the year.
Yeah, but I do think probably well deserved. And then Kenny Atkinson will be representing as, I guess, one of the coaches. I'm not sure who, you know, how they'll break that up, but, and then in the West, we got the starters, Steph, KD, Shea, LeBron, and Jokic. Classic. Can't really beat that.
We were saying it's the four the old guys, old heads Shea. With Shea. Yeah.
yeah. All perennial all-stars at this time.
Awesome.
The West is just loaded with people that have been talented for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So, and then off the bench, we have Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Jaren Jackson Jr., which is, I think, a interesting pick. Mm-hmm. I think a well-deserved pick.
Yeah.
Interesting. Alperen Şengün, Jalen Williams, and Victor Wembanyama, who those last four, I think, are in their first All-Star game.
Who do you think... Do you so Anthony Davis? I think will get replaced for sure because of his injury. Şengün.
I think he might.
Play. You think he's gonna play?
There's enough time because let's see. The game is Sunday the 16th.
And today it's not even February yet.
It's not even February when we record this.
It's not a serious.
I kind of wonder if he's just going to. I mean, I'm not saying he's not injured, but I do wonder if it's like this is a good time to rest because like you're going into the All-Star break, so you're going to get extra rest no matter what. Mm-hmm. So just let's take it easy and not overdo it.
Kind of reminds me of when the Lakers were going for their playoff push and then Kobe just decided not to play that one year. You know what I mean?
So, but I mean, that was the weakest playoff push in the history of playoff pushes.
And Şengün as well is also injured at the moment, but it's also not serious. So we'll see how those.
If you had to pick two replacements in the West, where's your head going?
Let's see. I got the list on me here. I definitely like Sabonis is killing it, and LaMelo, or that's a East guy, huh?
East, yeah.
So
I guess it depends on how the teams shake up,
how you're picking them.
I think based on what you're saying, like it'll have to be mixed conferences because you can't have at least that's what I would imagine.
Right. Well, if we're doing it East and West, then it's the West guys. Then I would have to go DeMont Sabonis, and then probably after that, Devin Booker,
Jalen Green,
maybe even Norman Jalen Powell Green. Could be in there. Somewhere.
Norm Powell, I think, would have been an interesting selection.
There's those three selections, I think, for sure. Kyrie, you could throw in there as well.
But he's
been hurt.
Yeah, I think Kyrie's not a snub, but
so you're right. For the most part, I think they got. I think for the most part they got all the teams right.
I think they got it right. No Luka, but obviously he's been injured. So
Jalen Williams making it is. You know, wow.
He's
been killing it.
Deserved.
Yeah.
A
couple guys in the East, I think, that if you were to replace Tyler Hero, I think you can throw Mr. LaVine in there, maybe even a Franz Wagner in there, and maybe even a Jared Allen.
All right. I accept.
Yeah. You accept?
Yes. But speaking of players that could be replacements, let's get into the heat on feet and maybe take a look at some snubs.
Potential
snubs.
Let's see if the NBA will see this and
listen to us. First up, we got Trae Young, who, as we briefly mentioned, recently switched from being an Adidas signature athlete with his own line.
Yeah.
To Jordan and now being one of the Jordan 39 reps. I would kind of be surprised if there was anything in the works to give him his own signature shoe. Just you know, they have Tatum, they have Doncic, they have Zion. Maybe they could drop Zion just because, I mean, we talked about it before the cameras were on that Zion is balling. He's playing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with Zion. He's kind of a question mark to me.
I like what Trey's been doing with the Hawks this season. They're kind of in the middle of the pack, right?
They're like two games behind 500. Which is, that's the last three seasons they've been just a 500 team, mm-hmm. pretty much.
They had a guy who was doing a lot for them, Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson was nice.
He's super good, who you said earlier is now out for the season, so that hurts a lot.
It really hurts.
This guy, as an individual player, he does good.
This is a closer look at. I really like this pair. It's like a red velvet almost. I think this is a PE. I think.
Of the Luka or
no? It's the Jordan 39.
39.
Okay. He's been. It's like him, Ingram, and Bancaro. They love it, They're all like the 39 athletes. I would imagine if you're like a Jordan brand athlete, you probably don't get to wear the other Jordan athlete's signature shoes.
Yeah, remember we talked about that last time.
Yeah, like you have to get their permission. But I bet Jordan brand is like, no, like those are their shoes.
Yeah.
We have these other Jordan brand basketball shoes, so you will be wearing those. Like,
right.
You got to keep the Jordan line. Like you got to keep that in the zeitgeist, the NBA.
No, for sure, for sure.
So I would imagine that's probably how it goes down. But I like this pair.
I like it too. And the all red is nice. The 39 piggybacking off of last week's episode with the all red Jordan 4.
Yes.
But those three guys you named, Paolo Banchero is the one that's getting his own shoe, right? And he's got
his own logo. He's so got his own I logo think he's going to get his own shoe.
Yeah. And we like the logo?
I think no.
Or is it the one that was just like?
It was just PB.
Was it the one that looked like bubbles or something?
No, there was Kate had a cool logo that was like a star.
Oh yeah, the star. That's right.
Paolo Banchero.
We'll get his logo up there logo. For you guys, for sure.
Yeah, no.
It does. I don't hate it, but I'm kind of confused.
I get it. It's like a P five
and a B.
It's a P and a B, and it kind of makes a five.
Yes.
Not really.
Yes.
But
I like it. Why not?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You don't like it either.
If I don't like it, that means you don't like it.
But yeah, I guess if he's getting his own logo, that kind of hints towards his own shoe.
Also shows you that he's kind of like the future.
I would agree. Yeah. I think he should be. Mm-hmm. Here's some Trey stats for you from this game.
I'm sure it's crazy.
This was just last night. Hawks lost to the Cavs 115-137. Not that crazy, I would say. 15 points, 1 rebound. 10 assists.
He shot bad, didn't he?
5 for 16 from the field, 2 for 8 from downtown. 1 steal, no blocks, 2 turnovers, and only 1 foul.
Yeah.
Not Trae Young's worst game. Mm-hmm. That was in 32 minutes, though, so it's not like he got pulled out in garbage time. I mean, probably did. Mm-hmm. But
just couldn't get going.
And I just feel like that's the problem with Trae. We talked briefly, Zachary Richaché.
That's how you say it.
I speak French. 30 points. Steals on 11 of 14 from the field. 5 for 6 from downtown. So he was stroking that thing.
He was there. He was their guy last night.
He didn't really do much of anything else. He had like 1 rebound and 1 assist.
Okay. He was just going off.
He was popping off. Yeah. Garland had a team high 26 points along with 7 assists. And just to give you an idea of what Trey is looking at this season, like we said, Hawks are a few games behind 500, which does, I mean, All-Star is an individual award, but team play does matter.
Matter, for sure.
22.7 points per game, which is his lowest since his rookie year, outside of his rookie year, I should say. 3.3 rebounds, who cares, he's a traditional point guard. 11.4 assists per game, which is a career high so far. 4.7 turnovers per game, which would be his second highest. 4.8 was his highest a few years ago. And then this is really where I'm like, 40% from the field, 40.2.
That's not good.
Which is a career low, like well.
Yeah.
Like the few percentage points behind anything else he's put up.
Yeah.
So you don't like to see it. I've, you know, if you watch Hawks games, he is completely uninterested when the ball's not in his hands, mm-hmm. which is why having him and DeJounte Murray did not work out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just not, he does not put any effort in on defense either. So I personally don't feel like he got snubbed. I think, like we said, you know, Tyler Hero, maybe you can make that argument, but mm-hmm. I think Cade is more deserving. I do think Tyler Hero is probably more deserving too. So I don't know. I don't know how you feel.
I mean, with Tyler Hero, considering all that's going on with Jimmy Butler, he's on a heater right now. He's kind of taken the role on the team as like the guy
now,
along with Bam.
Yeah.
So with all that into consideration, along with his numbers, his shooting, 3-point wise is insane right now too. I think he deserves it over Trey for sure.
Yeah, I think Trey's a really, really good player. But I don't know. It just doesn't cut it when it's like you're averaging a double double and you're leading the league in assists, which is
right.
crazy. But
how effective is it? Is
yeah,
if you're not
winning
and you're a defensive liability.
Yeah.
And now you have one of your main teammates out. So
yeah,
it's kind of tough.
And obviously, you're just shooting bad shots. I mean, if you're shooting 40%, that's I don't know. I don't think that's like a regression. I don't think he's got, because he's still scoring 20 a game. I think he's just chucking.
And his name also has been in trade rumors throughout the years. What I think could help change his career, and I do think he needs a change, is if he gets traded to another team, almost like a rebranding of himself.
I think so. I think he needs to figure it out somewhere else.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't think it would happen, but it'd be funny if he got traded to New York. I think that honestly would be a great place for him. They mm-hmm. kind of hate him, but I think they would love him if he came and, you know, he puts on a show.
And like, put him next to Jalen.
I mean, I don't think that could ever possibly happen.
I don't see them doing it.
I just think as a location, maybe Brooklyn. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think the Nets have anything that the Hawks would want.
Right.
But, you know, just somewhere big where he can maybe feel like a bigger deal. I think that could help. He's actually averaging only 17.3 shots per game. Mm-hmm. I thought he was just going to be chucking him. So he is just missing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fewest shots he's been taking in games since 2021. So.
Yeah. Kind of weird that he's shooting less and not making as many.
Yeah, he's in a weird place. I don't know what, it's like, he's not Zach LaVine. He's much better than Zach LaVine, but mm-hmm. I do think for some teams, it's like, ooh, I don't know if I want to be in the Trae Young business.
Yeah.
Like, if the Lakers traded for him, depending on what we give up, I think I'd be happy, because he is really good, and putting him with AD and LeBron would be
mm-hmm.
scary for other teams. But I wouldn't want to bank on him as, like, the Lakers' future.
No.
He's not that guy.
Because we, the way we're constructed right now, we already need like an athletic guard to guard like a Jamal Murray type
guard,
and we don't have that.
We're too small already, and
he's not that.
Lowers our height considerably.
Yeah.
Next up on the potential snub list, we have a guy who's had a really weird season. I think a few injuries, coming off a injury year and a weird year before that. It's a Ja Morant.
The weird is the perfect word for it. He's having such a weird season. He's playing. He didn't play in the beginning of the season. Came back. Got hurt a little bit again. Stats not quite up there.
Stats are not there right now.
I think he's at like around 20 points. But
Grizzlies are winning. Grizzlies are doing well.
And they're great. They're in third, I believe. But you're just not seeing the Ja of old yet.
It is like, you know, he had all the crazy stuff happen off the court. And that, I think, derailed a really good year.
Yeah.
And then he got injured, and that really just messed everything up again.
Mm-hmm.
It is scary, you know, shades of D Rose, you know, like, you get injured and you're this explosive athletic guard, and mm-hmm. you come back and you're not quite the same, you know?
That's a good comparison.
I don't want it to be that way because he's just such an electric player and mm-hmm. he's still dunking on people and he's doing jaw stuff. But the on-the-court play, like the stats at least, just don't add up. Maybe he's taking a back seat because Jaren Jackson Jr. is obviously an all-star. Mm-hmm. Desmond Bane has always stepped up whenever Jaw is out and is one of the best shooters in the league, one of the best players in the league. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who knows what's going on? But
he is that team. When he's not playing, that Memphis team is completely different. They don't have the same makeup, or they don't have the same like feel as in a game. Like they almost seem like a lottery team if he's not there, right?
Almost, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think they will be. I think they're still good enough to be good without him. But I think I get what you mean that, like, Ja Morant seemed like one of those guys that was just going to be like, well, he's in the All-Star game off his name alone. Like, mm-hmm. he's Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. And obviously things have changed. He's not on the All-Star team.
Yeah.
You know, off-the-court business has been a lot better, but that's going to be associated with you for a long time. Yeah, I kind of just thought he was going to be Anthony Edwards. I thought they were going to be mm-hmm. similar levels.
Yeah.
And now Ant is, like, next up, and Jaw is not like quite we're waiting there anymore. Still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This game, he hasn't played in a few games. This was against the Knicks, and they got blown out in the Garden 106-143 on January 27th. Damn. He had just 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, no steals, no blocks. 4 turnovers on 5 of 13 shooting. Jaren Jackson Jr. had 21 points, 4 rebounds. Cat had 24 points, 11 rebounds on 9 of 17 from the field.
Yeah.
Jaw's averaging 20.3 points, 7.5 assists, 44.5% from the field, which is a career low for him. 1.3 steals per game, which is a career high. And then 3.9 turnovers per game, which is also a career high so far. So. And not a good season. Not a good season. So
not
far.
To be a snub, right? Or a snob, sorry.
A snub.
But, you know, Trey's 22 points, not an easy thing to do in the NBA.
No.
20 points for Ja, not, still awesome.
Yeah.
But for those caliber type players, you want them to be like, you know.
Yeah, it's just not what we thought. 25. You know? Yeah, something. Especially with the low shooting, I think is really.
And the percentages, right? It's kind of weird.
He does have some cool shoes, though. I wanted to highlight a pair, but the game's a little old now. He wore, I don't know if you've seen, he has like a Bruce Lee colorway
yes.
of his Jaw 2s. Mm-hmm. He's got some fun colorways for the shoe.
Yeah.
They're very Kobe-esque mm-hmm. in shape, I am realizing. But this is the Nightmare one.
Those are dope.
These were released, well, they were like, I think a Halloween-themed PE, but he's been continuing to wear them.
Yeah.
They're super sick. This is a look at the heel. You got like the Day of the Dead that's... zombie arms coming up.
Yo, like, I like those a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty sick.
Wow, those are dope.
Very cool. But yeah, I don't think I would put Jaw in my snub list this year just because the West is loaded. Like you said, Devin Booker is not in the game.
Yeah.
Sabonis is not in the game. So
if he was on the sub list, he's on the bottom of it.
Yes.
Cool
shoes, though.
The shoe is awesome. The design of the hands is cool. The splatter print of the red is awesome. Yeah, the
texture up on the side there.
That material is like awesome.
Rough, almost.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with the black and red colorway.
Yes. Know?
And the almost like the...
Cream swoosh.
Cream swoosh, and like it reminds me almost like a Freddy Krueger's face type of thing.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And just the overall theme of the shoe is just awesome. And I think this is like a Jaw thing, is like that, almost like a bear scratch.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
Like grizzlies. Yes. Yeah, beautiful shoe. When you said it's fitting to like a Kobe, for sure. Especially the sole.
Yeah.
That is like the Kobe 5 right there. That's what I see. So that's a great shoe, man.
Last up, another guy that we briefly mentioned, and he's been dealing with some injuries, is a LaMelo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
a swerve in the corner. Whoa.
Yes, he is bending the ankle.
He's also in the new video, the Ball Brothers.
Yeah, they had to be in it. You knew it was coming. This is from the game before he got injured against the Lakers. This is from January 25th when they blew out the Pelicans, 123-92 in Charlotte. He had 25 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, no blocks, 4 turnovers, 2 fouls, and 9 of 21 from the field, 4 for 13 from downtown. Miles Bridges had 22 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Zion had 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 2 assists on 11 of 20 shooting. So he's doing his part, but the Pelicans cannot figure it out.
This is, to me, the number one all-star snub this season.
Yeah, I agree. He's been injured a lot. He's only played 30 games out of, you know, 31, I think, out of like 45. So he's missed a handful of games. The Hornets are pretty darn bad.
I just think some of the things he's doing is insane.
He is really good. Try to get another angle of the shoes here. There wasn't a close-up, but I did kind of zoom in myself and look.
Yeah.
So the Melo MB04, or Melo MB4, is out. But this is the 3, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I always think it's a little interesting when they're not wearing the most current model.
The new one, yeah.
So...
Also, a toned-down colorway of his shoe.
Which way you never toned down for him. A triple black? You would never
you never seen that.
His shoes usually look like they just got off the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards.
Seriously, though. It looks like a toy you find in, like, a Toys R Us or something. Yeah.
He's averaging this season 28 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists on 41.9 shooting. So, again, not very good shooting.
Yeah.
And 3.7 turnovers for the season. But I mean, 28 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists, that's hard.
Insane.
So I do agree, Melo could have been in the All-Star game, I think, pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. You got to maybe get... The only thing I'll say is that he's doing it on a team that really is not winning.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the other guys, their teams are like at 500, and, you know, the Hornets are at like... 15 wins or something not very good. So
I don't blame them for picking Tyler Hero. I think from an entertainment standpoint, he would be a little
more entertaining.
Entertaining to watch, but I don't know if that's an element to the decision, right?
Should be.
But yeah, and if it was, I think that's why I would have chose him, but again, whatever.
But that's it for Heat on Them Feet.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
We had a lot to talk about, ran kind of long today, but before we finish our episode, we have our favorite game of the episode.
Basketball.
Stump the Statty is what I'm calling it.
I like approved.
That's not bad, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, they've used it before, but they don't have it.
They're not us. They are not like us.
They are not. They're not the Statty.
I'm hip.
Daddy. So I got 3 stats for you, Mr. Daddy.
Draymond Green, Eaton, Kobe Bryant.
Okay, I might have said this one already in like one of the first ones, but I'm just going to use it anyway so to know I won't have to use it again. But this is the best stat line ever. Yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
1 point, 1 assist, 1 rebound, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover while wearing number 1 in 2013 for the Nets. Against the Bulls.
For the Nets?
Yeah.
Is it one of the CJs?
Wow! CJ Miles? Nicely done. You're close, like super close. It's not CJ Miles, though.
Who's the other one? I'm blanking on the name right now.
He is a guard. He moved around a little bit. He was also on the Warriors, I believe.
Was he on the Raptors?
Or I think he might have been on the Raptors. What did you say?
I think I'm thinking of CJ Miles still. Oh. Who is it?
CJ Watson.
CJ Watson.
Yes.
I knew it was a CJ.
What a crazy stat line, right?
That is
gnarly. One everything.
One of everything while wearing number one. That's. Did you see the Thunder? I think had the low. I think it was the Thunder. Thunder of Philly, I feel like, had the lowest jersey total.
Mm-hmm.
They had 00,
uh-huh.
0,
uh-huh.
1, 2, at 3.
No way.
00, 0, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So the total, if you added up their jersey numbers, it was like 6.
6.
That's the literal lowest you can get.
That's, well, 000?
000. No number.
before I continue, this is episode 58.
Yes.
The only person to wear number 58 in the NBA, Jack McVay of the Rockets in 2018, and he's the first person ever to wear number 58.
Never heard of Jack McVay.
What the hell is that? Yeah, that's so
you've got that forever. The first 58 ever. Congrats.
Hey, grandkids.
Guess what I did.
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. This one, also 2013 Nets.
Wow.
Crazy stat line. 22 points. I knew you were going to say that. 22 points, 26 rebounds, three assists. And this was a career high.
It's not Chris Humphries?
No. And it wasn't even his career high in rebounds. It's his career high in points. The 22 points.
What?
Yes. So 22 points, 26 rebounds.
Derek Favors?
Close. Was Derek Favors on the Nets? Yeah, he was.
He got drafted by the Nets. Yeah.
Such a random player, but also was on the Clippers.
Okay.
And he did this stat
2013
line on the Nets.
That was on the Clippers. Must be a big.
He's bald.
Reggie Evans?
Dude, this is why we play this game. He's really good at this. And this last stat is actually more of a list. So, most double doubles with assists. Can you name the top three?
The most double doubles with assists.
Okay. Yeah, and this one is stupid with assists. It's like 200.
John Stockton.
277.
John Stockton.
Double doubles with assists. What? That's dumb. Number two and three is where I think we might get a little confused, which is why I brought this up.
Okay, John Stockton is number one.
Okay, two and three.
Two and three.
You looked at my laptop again.
No, I can't read it. It's so small.
You have good eyes.
Why did you write, love Statty Daddy?
You ate, but I'm lazy.
I would probably say J. Kidd.
He's on there. He is number five.
Okay. Well, then the other all-time assist guy, Magic Johnson.
He's on there. He's number three.
Okay. Chris Paul, number two.
Very good. That confused me. I always thought Magic would have double-doubles all day, every day.
He just didn't play enough. That's the only... He only played 10 seasons. That's
true.
Or whatever.
That's true. And CP in his day was just... I mean...
CP3's 12 52 assists years old now.
Every game.
He's been playing since the 90s, so, you know, he's racking up assists.
He was nasty, so... Well, I couldn't stump you again.
Well, you did stump me with CJ Miles. Half stump. CJ Miles, dang it. CJ Watson. I did it again.
He loves CJ Miles.
My favorite
was
player.
Was CJ Miles on the Wizards?
He was on the Raptors and the Bulls?
And the
Maybe CJ Watson? I don't know. I honestly have no clue. I don't think he was on the Wizards. Who hasn't been on the Wizards, though? You know what I mean?
I'm just saying that because we haven't brought up our favorite team. So
we can
shout out.
We should
Wizzies.
Talk about them next time when they're on their 20 game losing streak.
It's bad. They're like 6-42.
They're on pace for like the worst record ever.
It's
getting there.
I mean,
shout out the Zards, baby.
If there's a team where you say, well, at least you're a millionaire, it's that one.
That's that team. That's where you bet on your under and be like, I'm not playing.
But yeah, lots of stuff going on in the sneaker world. We will have a lot of stuff on our social media ready for you. Thank you for tuning in for Ellen episode 58, and we will see you next time on the Flippity Floppity.
When something like this happens... Hello.